Duffield Farms. Hello. I don't know. The man just says, guess who? Yes, it's the game, Guess Who? And your host is Sheffield Farms, who also bring you Sheffield vitamin D, homogenized milk, and other fine dairy products. And now let's have a warm welcome for your Sheffield quizmaster, the genial gent who pays you to guess who, Happy Felton.
I want to be happy, but I can't be happy till I make you happy, too. I feel like singing the whole thing tonight, but I'm not going to. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Guess Who? I had a busy day. This morning, I woke up and decided to surprise my wife. I said, darling, you just stay in bed. This morning, I'm going to make breakfast. Well, I got out the pots and the pans, the milk and the cream, the oranges and the bread. Should have seen that kitchen. It looked like a bad day at the automat. Well, my wife kept calling, and she said, Happy, don't waste anything. I said, don't worry, dear, I won't. She said, well, then what's taking you so long? I said, I'm counting out the cornflakes. Well, I took the oranges, I put them on a chair, I forgot all about them, and I sat down to rest. You know, I'll bet I'm the first person to get 3 glasses of orange juice by wringing out a pair of corduroy pants. My wife called in and she said, Happy, put the griddle on the stove and make some pancakes. A couple of minutes later, she said, what's all that smoke? Did you put the griddle on? I said, griddle? I thought you said girdle. Well, I finally got some buckwheat cakes made, and I did make a mistake. Instead of reaching for the maple syrup, I poured on some glue. First time I ever gave my wife a taste in the mouth. Well, let me tell you, we had the best breakfast this morning money could buy. Yes, sir. Because we both got dressed and went down to the drugstore on the corner. Now we're going to play Guess Who, and it's the game where our 7 contestants, chosen from the theater audience, hear recordings of various voices, try to guess who they are. Winning guest pays off 10 silver Sheffield dollars, a miss only 2. Either way, signaled by the sound of the Sheffield dollars dropping into the big milk bottle. Also on the show is an alarm clock set to ring sometime when some lucky contestant is at the mic. And when that happens, said contestant will receive with the compliments of Sheffield Farms a lovely 17-jewel Gruen Precision Curvex wristwatch. And to round things off tonight, all the contestants get a chance to kick over the big milk pail at the end of the show, which is filled so far with 25 silver dollars. And now comes Joe Ripley with contestant number 1.
Happy, I'd like everybody to meet Mrs. Emma Duty of Peabody, Massachusetts.
How are you, Mrs. Duty? Peabody, Massachusetts. Exactly where is that?
It's about 18 miles out of Boston.
Out of Boston?
Yes.
And what do you do? You a housewife?
Housewife.
What does your husband do?
He's a butcher.
He's a butcher. He's out of work right now?
Well, he hangs around.
He hangs around?
Yeah.
Waiting for one chop to come in, no doubt, huh? How long have you been married, Mrs. Duty?
23 years.
Have you any children?
One?
You know what they say, marriage is like a bath. It's not so hot when you get used to it, but you find it's a good life?
Very nice.
Your husband treats you well?
Very well.
How long did you know your husband before you let him kiss you?
Well, so long ago, I don't remember.
Been so long ago? Well, how long did you say you've been married?
23 years.
Oh, that's not so long. Tell me, Mrs. Duty, when you went out to a restaurant with your husband before you were married, did you hold hands under the table?
I don't remember that either.
Well, in your time, 25 years ago, when 2 people held hands under the table, it was love. Now, if 2 people hold hands under the table, it means a new car. Do you think a woman should have a career?
No, I don't. Not a married lady, no.
You think her place is at home?
Yes.
The other day I said to my wife, I think you married me for my money. Did you marry your husband for his money, by the way?
No, he didn't have any.
He didn't? My wife had almost the same answer. I said, I think you married me for my money. She said, if I did, I certainly earned it. You may not have married your husband for his money, but do you have any trouble getting hold of it now?
No, not when he has any.
What do? Put him on an allowance?
No.
Does he put you on one?
No.
You get along all right in your house,
very
then,
well.
Don't you? Mrs. Duty, have you ever been out of the country?
I went to Canada.
Whereabouts in Canada?
Montreal.
Well, I'm glad you went to Canada because your record is the voice of a pretty important Englishman. Canada being part of Great Britain, I think you'll have a chance for this. In Canada, did you find things much different than they are here?
No, not a great deal.
They're quite different in England. They have 5 o'clock tea. Over here, we have 5 o'clock shadow. We're ready now for your 10 silver Sheffield dollars. They're all waiting for you. If you can guess the name of this British statesman. Listen and guess who?
Before the war, many of the things which we got from abroad food and raw materials, were paid for by the interest on foreign investments and by services rendered by us to people in other countries.
What did you say, Mrs. Doody?
Bevins?
No, it is not Bevins. It's a very good guess, though. He was elected over Winston Churchill, this man. He's the head of the political party now in power.
I know it, but I can't say it.
Oh, at least you can make a guess.
Attlee.
Clement Attlee, of course. How did you happen to guess it then? Were you just thinking hard?
I heard somebody down there.
You heard somebody help you, didn't you? Well, that's all right. You got it in time, and I didn't notice them. Otherwise, I would have reprimanded them severely, Mrs. Doody. But here we go. You've got 10 silver Sheffield dollars and a chance at our jackpot. You're quite welcome. Who's next here, Joe? Hiya, sailor.
How are you today?
How are you?
Just fine, sir.
I just want to keep you here. You're talking. Go ahead. Keep talking to you. What is your name?
H.M. Barnett.
And where are you from, H.M. Barnett?
Roanoke, Virginia, sir.
Joe's hometown, Joe Ripley's hometown. I saw you chatting with him there when I picked you out. Did you ever know Joe down there?
No, sir.
You never did? Why, you figure he's too old and tired for you?
No, sir, I don't think so.
You don't think so?
No, sir.
Talk right in there, will you?
Yes,
tell me,
sir.
H.M. Barnett, what does H stand for?
I'd rather not say, sir. I'm not so proud of that one.
What about M? Does that bother
that
you?
That stands for Melvin. I don't like it much either.
Melvin, but you don't like the H, right?
No, sir, definitely not.
Well, I
not.
Got hooked with this one. How would you like it if they called you F.J.? That's me. F.J.
That'd be better than what they handed to me.
Well, you tell me what yours is, and I'll tell you what mine is.
All right, I'll break down with you.
Go ahead, you break down.
Horace.
Horace?
Yes.
Horace Melvin Barnett?
Yes, sir.
All right,
and
brother.
They stuck a junior on the end of that to make it
worse.
They
stuck a junior on the end of mine, too. Mine is Francis Joseph with a junior on the end.
Well, that Joe's all right.
Shake hands, suffer.
You.
Nice to see you. No wonder they call me Happy. What do they call you?
Blimp, sir.
Grim?
Blimp. I used
blimp?
To be as big as you were.
You're as big. What did you do to overcome the blimp business?
Joined the Navy.
The Navy took care of that, huh? How long have you been in the Navy?
Just since January, sir.
What's your job?
Oh, right now, I'm gunner's mate.
I see.
Studying the gunner.
What do you want to do when you get out?
Go back to college.
Where'd you go to school?
Virginia Military.
VMI?
Yes.
Wonderful school. I had a sailor up here, and I asked what he was going to be when he got out, and he just said, very happy.
That's me, too.
That's you, too,
yes,
huh?
Yes, sir. Oh.
Now, tell me, have you been in New York much?
No, sir, just last week.
Just the last week?
Yes, sir.
It's your first time here?
Yes, sir.
What do you think of it?
Too big.
Too big?
Yes, sir.
Can't you give me one reason why you like New York? And if she's got a friend, let me know.
I can't do that. No, sir. I haven't been here that long.
You haven't?
No, sir.
All right, then I won't kid you about New York. Just tell me some things about the Navy. What does USS mean?
USS?
Yeah, that's usually...
United States ship.
United States ship?
That's right.
Oh, I learned something. I thought it meant usually seasick.
That's true, too.
Oh, that's true?
Yes, sir.
Did you have trouble that way?
Coming up from Norfolk up here, I did.
You did?
Yes, sir.
It was bad.
Riding that
hurricane. How old are you, Blimp?
18, sir.
18. Listen to me calling anybody Blimp, isn't it? 18 years old. It's nice to have you here. Can you tell me something about the Navy? Who's more important, a Lieutenant J.G. or an ensign?
Lieutenant J.G. is supposed to be.
Supposed to be?
Yes.
I thought a Lieutenant J.G. was just an ensign who could swim.
That's probably true, too.
It is? You get along all right with your officers and your outfit?
Yes, as long as I stay one place and they stay the other.
What kind of a boat are you on, H.M.?
I'm on an aircraft carrier.
On an aircraft carrier. Very nice to have you here. How do you expect to be in town long?
Quite a while, I'm afraid.
Quite a while, you're afraid?
Yes.
You mean you don't like us yam-dankies?
Well, I won't say that, but I'd rather be back in Virginia.
You'd rather be back in Virginia?
Yes, sir.
You and Joe, too, I think. Joe, you may now applaud all by yourself, please. All right. Nice to have you here, H.M. Barnett. We're going to give you a chance to win some money now. Your record is for 10 Sheffield silver dollars. If you can guess the name of this outstanding band leader, we'll give it right to you in that right hand of yours. You ready? Guess who? Well, let's listen to him. I admit you knew him right away. How did you know that was Gene Krupa right away?
Well, I saw him last night, and I forgot about all his records he ever put out.
You saw him last night, you knew he was the best drummer in the land, and he guessed it right away. Give the man $10. Thank you very much, H.M. Barnett. Very good indeed. Stick around. We have a jackpot. And if you're that smart, I think you'll do real good at it. Joe, now that I quit talking to your neighbor from Roanoke, I've got to tell you what happened to my pal, Charlie, the other day.
What happened, Happy?
Well, we stopped in to see a movie, and after groping around for a seat, Charlie sits down right in some lady's lap. He lets out a yell, and Charlie jumps up and stumbles over another woman and falls flat on his face in the aisle.
Say, I bet he was plenty embarrassed for that.
He's always having trouble that way. He can't see a thing when he walks into a room with dim lights.
Happy, do you know that's a sign of night blindness? And you know when your eyes adjust slowly to changes of light, night blindness? A lot of people have that same trouble, and it can be doggone serious, especially when you're driving a car at night. You'd better tell your pal to start drinking milk.
Oh, come on now, Joe. I know milk's swell for building muscles and stuff, but for your eyes, I don't get it.
Well, Happy, listen, my friend, and you shall hear. Milk protects your eyes in two ways. First, it's rich in vitamin A, and scientists can tell you that even a moderate lack of vitamin A causes night blindness. In fact, it's essential for normal adjustment to darkness or dim lights to make full use of your eyesight. And second, milk is an outstanding source of vitamin B2 or riboflavin. That's the vitamin that helps protect normal eye health. So, for better sight and better health in every way, drink plenty of Sheffield Vitamin D homogenized milk, rich in vitamin A and riboflavin. It's the smoothest, creamiest, most satisfying drink that ever quenched your thirst. From now on, men, keep in the pink with a He-Man's drink. Sheffield Vitamin D homogenized milk.
Very nice, Joseph. Very nice. Step aside. Lower the microphone for this very petite young lady. What is your name, please?
Dora Kay.
Is it Mrs. Dora?
That's Kay? Right.
Where do you live?
Danvers, Massachusetts.
What does your husband do?
He's in the dry cleaning business.
Dry cleaning? He cleans?
Clothes.
And dyes them?
Yes. Yeah.
Up in Danvers?
Yes. Yeah.
Tell me, what do you do in your leisure hours?
I work.
What do you do?
Manufacture shoes.
Shoes?
Play shoes.
Oh, not my kind of shoes.
Yes, your kind. Play shoes,
this
though.
Big, you
that
mean?
That big.
This big?
Yeah.
My dear, I'll have to talk to you about that. I've never seen a pair of play shoes that I could get into.
Well, we'll send you a pair.
You will?
Yes.
That's my best offer today, believe me. Now, I'll send you a quart of milk, too, for the shoes. Tell me, do you get a chance to read very much, Mrs. Kay?
Well, I have.
What books have you read lately?
Well, Forever Amber.
Yes. Did you read... What else?
Foxes of Harrow.
Foxes of Harrow. Did you read The Snake Pit?
Yes.
Did you like it?
A little bit.
To read The Snake Pit, you have to be a bookworm.
I would say so.
Yes.
Yeah. A book lover.
Oh, a book lover, I see. I think that's a better answer to that joke than the one I had on there, so I'll go along with it. What type of books do you like best? Do you like mysteries at all?
Yes, I like mysteries.
Do you ever cheat and look to the back of the book?
In fact, I skip over some of the middle and get to the back.
And get to the back.
Yes.
If I ever publish a mystery book, I'll put the end of the book at the beginning. That's to fool people like you that are always looking at the ending first. Now tell me, did you read a book called Grapes of Wrath?
I did.
I didn't have time to read that,
but
I read a condensation of it. Yes. It was called Angry Raisins. Now tell me, do you ever read poetry, Mrs. K?
Well, I have when I was in school, which is a long time ago.
Can you quote any poetry?
Why, nothing that would be worth listening to.
What about, well, can't you say in The Midnight Ride of Paul Revere or something like that, or Under the Spreading Chestnut Tree?
The Village Smithy Stand?
Go right ahead, you're doing fine.
Well, that's enough, you know. I know the next line.
Those are two of the poems I didn't write, Mrs. K. But I used to sit on a high hill and let my mind wander. Sometimes wish it'd come back. I want you to tell me something about Shakespeare. Are you acquainted with him?
Well, I haven't read any of Shakespeare for a good many years.
Did you ever see any of his plays?
Yes, I saw Hamlet.
What do you suppose Romeo was doing on Juliet's balcony? Maybe he was looking for an apartment, huh?
He might have been.
Well, enough of me. Here's your chance at the do-re-mi. The reason we've been talking about books and Shakespeare is because here is the voice of a fellow, Mrs. K, who is playing one of Shakespeare's outstanding roles now. For 10 silver Sheffield dollars, listen and guess who?
If we are marked to die, we are enough to do our country loss.
Lawrence Olivier.
And if to live, the fewer men, the greater share of honor. God's will, I pray thee.
You'll have to come in a little closer and tell
Lawrence me. Olivier.
Lawrence Olivier. A very fine actor. Did you see him when he was here with the old Vic Company?
No, but I saw this play.
You saw this
play? I saw this play.
What is this?
Henry V.
The picture?
No. Yeah, the picture.
The picture.
Yes.
A very good one. Now at the Golden Theater. Well, you were certainly smart on that one. Guessed it right away. Give her the 10 necessary dollars here, Joe. And stand by for our milk payola a little later.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mrs. Dorquet. Man coming up here with a nice smile. At least, what's your name, please, sir?
My name is Roland Gallagher. Happy.
Roland, what do you do for a living?
I'm a survey investigator and interviewer.
What does that mean?
Well, in market research, to find the different trends of the markets and to find out about different products.
In other words, when somebody has a new kind of product they want to sell, you go around and find out if people know about it?
Well, not necessarily new. I'm liable to meet you on the street someday and ask you if you ever use Sheffield milk.
Well, I could give you a positive answer to that, sir, and thank you for putting in that extra commercial for us. Very nice. Roland, where do you live?
I live in the Bronx.
Have you any hobbies?
Well, music.
Music? What type of music do you like best?
Well, popular, mostly.
Jazz music?
Jazz, yes.
How long have you been interested in jazz?
Oh, I guess since about 1920s, back there.
You play an instrument yourself?
I play the piano myself.
You do?
I had my own band back in 1930.
Well, that's very interesting. How far did you get with the band?
Well, it was more of a sideline than anything else. I enjoyed it more than I worked at it.
Uh-huh. Did you? Where did you work? Around here?
Well, in several places. Perhaps you've heard of, can I name them on the air?
Sure, of
the,
course.
The Silver Palms in Sunnyside. And places in Rockaway Beach.
Uh-huh. How big an orchestra did you have?
Oh, at the most, it was only 4 pieces.
I see. And you played piano.
That's right.
I used to play saxophone just to kill time. People upstairs objected. They said it was all right to kill time, but I was torturing it. So I gave it up, went to the fiddle. Do you remember the first jazz band you ever heard?
Yes, I think I do.
What would it have been?
Oh, I remember the old Memphis Five.
That was an early one.
The original Dixieland.
Oh, sure. You were a little ahead of me then. In the early days that I remember, the swing band leaders always named their bands after states. I know you remember Fred Waring and his Pennsylvanians. He's still going fine. Rudy Valley and his Connecticut Yankees. When I got into the business, most of the states were already taken, so my band was known as Happy Felton and his Alaskan Territories. We never got very far. Do you ever collect phonograph records?
Yes, I have quite a collection at home now.
I'm going to play a group for you on an old record. I think you're one of the few men that would have a chance to guess this. They're really different. One of the first jazz groups in the country. It wasn't exactly an orchestra, and it wasn't exactly a singing group. Their music was very different and very popular in the early 30s, late 20s. So there's 10 silver Sheffield dollars. If you can get this, Roland, listen to it. It's really an old-timer.
Mound City Blue Blowers.
Exactly right. Right on the butt. The Mound City Blue Blowers. Brother, you are really a connoisseur. Tell me, you know, their records are really collector's items. Could you tell me any of the men that were in that? For every man that you can name, I'll give you an extra dollar.
No, I don't think I could.
I'll tell you
who they were.
I'll tell you. The one that the sailor guessed, Gene Krupa, was on that record playing drums. And there was a fellow by the name of Red McKenzie was playing the kazoo in that group, singing. You remember Red?
Yes.
Well, I think that's wonderful. Do you know why they called it the Mound City Blue Blowers?
No, I don't.
Mound City was called St. Louis. St. Louis was called the Mound City, and that's where they originated. Good for you, Mr. Gallagher. 10 silver dollars and stand by for the jackpot. How about that? I thought no one would guess that. The Mound City Blue Blowers. How are you, young fella?
What is your name, please? Robert Clark.
And where's your home?
In Baltimore, Maryland.
Baltimore, Maryland? What are you doing up here?
I'm up here early on a vacation. Also, I'm going to go to school soon. And
I see. You're wearing a discharge button. What did you do in the service?
I was a pilot in the Air Corps.
Really?
What
rank did you come out with?
I was first lieutenant.
First lieutenant? It's very interesting. How much flying did you actually do?
Well, you mean in missions?
Yes.
I had 15 missions.
Which way were you, east or west? Europe or?
I was in Europe.
You
in
were
the
in
ATO.
Europe. In the ATO. Isn't that nice? Welcome here to Guess Who? I took some flying lessons last year. There's only two things I can't do with a plane, take off and land. How long were you overseas?
I was overseas, about a little more than 2 years.
You've heard a lot of stories, you know, about officers, especially colonels in the Air Corps. Were they really as young as everybody said?
Yes, I guess they
were.
There's
a soldier down in front grinning there. I don't know how young those colonels are. We have a former Air Corps colonel who lives in our apartment house, and I see him every morning. Sometimes I even help him take his scooter down the stairs. Are you still interested in flying at all, Robert?
No, I believe I'm going to go back to school and I'm going to study law.
You want to study law?
That's right.
Don't want anything more to do with these new planes?
No, I had enough of it.
You had enough of them, huh? You know, they tell me they got a new plane that looks like it's flying backwards. Have you seen that one, the one with the pusher-type propellers? I was speaking to a test pilot who flew one. He said it's a little confusing. He says, I don't mind flying north when I want to go south, and I don't mind flying east when I want to go west. But the other day I made a belly landing. How long did you say you were in the Air Force, Mr. Clark? How long?
All together, I was in over 4 years.
Over 4 years. Are you married?
No, I'm not. Thank goodness.
Thank goodness. You know, there's one thing I always want to know. In the movies and on the air programs, the fighter pilots or the pilots always talk to each other in a crazy way, like cauliflower at the spinach, and this is carrots, come in spinach, Roger and over. What is all that kind of talk?
Well, that was a code they used. It simplified it, talking like Roger would mean that, okay, they understood what they were saying. Words like Wilco would mean that they would comply with the order.
Everything's
okay. That was their own code that they used.
I once heard a pilot say, DDT to fly paper, come in. DDT to fly. I suppose that must have been a mosquito bomber, huh? All right. We're going to play a record for you now. Bob, I want you to win it, and I want to give you a few hints here before we start, and if you get stuck on it, I'll give you some more later. Your voice is that of an international singing star. International singing star. Been around a while, and she's been starred in pictures, shows, records. I think that'll do for now. $10 if you guess who.
I see the thrills when you are alive, and while you're with me, I simply thrive. But if you want to get home alive, don't look at me that way.
He looks a little puzzled. I'll give you a hint. She's French. She was a favorite in vaudeville. Big favorite over here for over 20 years. I don't remember that.
Wouldn't be Irene Bordoni.
Bordoni, that's good enough for me. Irene Bordoni, very good. $10, Robert. I thought you were stuck with that one, even although the audience was trying to help you. Thank you and congratulations. Let's have the next young lady. No? Oh, I see why, Joe. Here's the man who knows what every woman knows. Give us the lowdown, Joe.
Okay, Happ. Every woman knows that the most important single factor in protecting the health and good looks of her family is a well-balanced diet. And here's what I'd like to add to that. Milk is your most important single food because it does more for you and does it more cheaply. See that your family gets plenty of delicious Sheffield milk every day. It's crammed with those essential elements you must have for all-round good health, precious proteins, minerals, carbohydrates, and vitamins. And Sheffield milk is mighty good drinking, too. Smooth and full-bodied with a country-fresh goodness that satisfies. You just can't afford not to put wholesome Sheffield milk first and foremost on your family's diet for good drinking and for good health.
Thank you, Joseph. Here's a very charming young lady in a blue dress. How old are you, please?
I'll be 17.
You'll be 17. What is your name?
Norma Norcia.
Norman?
Norma.
Norma Norcia. And where do you live, Norma?
I live in Newark, New Jersey.
Go to school?
Yes.
Well, looky, looky. Wondered when that was going to go off tonight. Do you know what happened?
I think I do.
What do you think you
do? I
want
to watch.
You sure did. You won a 17-jewel Gruen Precision Curve X wristwatch.
Wonderful.
A very, very pretty one, too.
Thank you.
Think you like that, Norma?
Oh, it's swell.
It's swell. Well, that's nice. Now, tell me, what school do you go to?
I go to an art school, Arts High.
Arts High. And where is that?
That's in Newark.
In Newark? How do you happen to be over in New York tonight? Come over to see a show?
No, I won a contest.
What kind of a contest?
The Teen Timer Design and Name It contest.
The Teen Timer Design
and
Name It contest. What does that mean?
Well, you had to design a dress and name it, and I won First National Prize.
What
and
did
I'm
you...
here on vacation.
Oh, you have a vacation in New York because you won it?
Yes, I have a whole week at the Hotel Pierre with all expenses paid.
Well, isn't that nice? Yeah. Now, tell me, what did you name your dress?
Charm Caper.
Charm Caper?
Yes, it's a back-to-school dress.
And what does it look like?
Oh, the dress.
Just the dress? Well, if it won the national contest, it must be pretty good. My wife does some designing. Right now, she has some designs on my pocketbook when I get home tonight. Norma, we're going to play a record for you here. And I hope you know something about music, because if you do, I think you'll guess this fellow right away. He's a very fine musician who travels all over the country, giving concerts and recitals. You've seen him in pictures, too. 10 silver Sheffield dollars. Guess who? Don't look so puzzled now, Norma. What instrument is that?
It's a harmonica.
A harmonica. Now, this fella's about the best on his instrument. He was overseas, entertained the boys many trips. If I said, now you can be taller than she is, would that mean anything for you? Who makes elevator?
Adler.
What's his first name?
Harry Adler.
Not Harry. That's $5 you got. Now, give me his first name. Adler is right. What's his first name?
Larry.
Larry Adler, right? Don't you ring that bell. Don't you ring that bell. She got it. Larry Adler, $10, the finest harmonica player in the world.
Thank you.
You're all set, Norma. Thank you very much. Hurry up here, soldier. Come on, Sarge. We've only got a minute. I want to talk to you. What's your name?
Corporal Deering.
And where are you from, Corporal Deering?
I'm stationed in Bowling Field at the present time.
Wearing a lot of decorations? You must have been in for some time.
I was an ETO.
ETO, how long have you been in the Army?
I've been in the Army 11 years and 7 months.
11 years and 7 months. How to do, how to do. You like being a corporal?
Pretty good racket.
Can you tell me, why do they call them buck privates? Maybe it's because they only have a buck left at the end of the month, huh?
Sometimes not even that much.
Sometimes not even that much. You I know, haven't got time to talk. Go ahead, Corporal. What were you going to
say? You know, I come from this fellow's town, too.
Roanoke?
Yeah.
Two from Roanoke tonight? We're going to be fighting the Civil War all over again here tonight.
I enlisted in the Army there in 1928.
For goodness sakes. Well, you fellows will have to get together with Ripley a little later. Right now, I got to play a record for you. And listen close here, Corporal Ted. I want you to guess it. The voices of an outstanding vocal group for the past 5 years have been big timers. 10 silver Sheffield dollars waiting right in Ripley's hand if you guess who.
The Andrews Sisters.
Andrews Sisters just couldn't keep me from dancing. Give the man the $10 and thank you, Ted. Here we are, ready for our jackpot. The Sheffield Milk Payola coming up here now. This is where all our contestants have a chance to get in and win the $25. More than one wins, we'll divide it up, but if no one knows all the right answers, we'll carry the money over to next week. We're going to play three records now about islands. Islands. We have three songs here. Every one of the songs tells us about a different kind of an island. I want you to give us the names of the islands. You have to get all three to win. Here we go, number one. Was number one island. This tune, the next one, is written by Tchaikovsky, but they made it into a pop tune with the name of an island on it. Number two, play it. That's number two, and here's number three, another island. You've got to get them all to win. Play it.
While Happy's checking on the payola winners, I'd like to remind you that Sheffield is still in urgent need of empty milk bottles. They must have them so they can continue to supply you with pure, wholesome Sheffield milk. Won't you help out in this emergency by collecting all the empties you can find and returning them promptly? Thanks a lot. Now, Happy, do we have any winners?
Well, looky, looky here. I only have any more back there? No, I have one that's close and one right on the button. Because it's exactly right. My Isle of Golden Dreams, the Isle of May, and the Isle of Capri, and they were all sent in by Robert Clark, our Air Force pilot here of Baltimore. He wins the $25. This is Happy Felton, your Sheffield milkman, saying good night, everybody.
So, let me remind you, the guest who is presented Saturdays at 7 by Sheffield Farms Division of National Dairy Products Corporation. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.